Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
What's required and asked of you to represent our university.
The players.
Let's have fun and we working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
We're all in to finish what we've started.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Two great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio. Jeff Palermo, News and Sports Director of Louisiana Radio Network, along with the Executive Editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and the Editor, Glenn Gilbo, Andre Champagne. Our producer tonight, also a reporter for Tiger Rag and the Louisiana Radio Network. Welcome to another edition of Tiger Rag Radio, Thanksgiving week edition. National Signing Day, a week from Wednesday, a new football coach possibly early next week. A lot to get to here over the next couple of hours. Coming up here in just a couple minutes, we're going to have Matt Moscona from ESPN Baton Rouge. He will join us. We'll also hear from Ross Dellinger later on in the hour about the LSU coaching search, or actually in the second hour later on in the show. And we'll also sprinkle some basketball talk in there as well. Matt McMahon will join us coming up at the top of the second hour. But Glenn and Todd, it's been a little bit of a quiet week compared to what we've been experiencing here the last couple of weeks, but maybe it's the calm before the storm. What do you guys, what are you thinking right now as LSU is getting ready for its final regular season game, and soon after that, a new head coach could be named?
I'm practicing mind reading. I'm polishing up on my mind reading, and I'm trying to channel Lane Kiffin's thought processes.
Okay, read my mind right now.
I got it.
Okay.
I don't think you want him to read. Do you, Glenn, do you really want Todd?
Todd just read my mind. Todd just read my mind, and it said, I'm not going to make deadline.
And I said, surprise, surprise, surprise.
There are no deadlines anymore with the website.
No comment. No comment, guys.
Listen, Luke. It's funny. I think people are – Todd's trying to read people's minds. What I find funny is everybody is trying to read something into what Lane says or how he turns his head or whatever. And, in fact, last week – Somebody tweeted out that Florida had canceled a volleyball game on this Saturday so that the arena would be open for the Lane Kiffin press conference. You know, as if they couldn't have the press conference somewhere else, or maybe they just didn't feel like playing volleyball that night. You know? But there's all this stuff you're starting to hear. But as I was told Friday by a really good source I've had for a few years, really going back to when Nick was the coach, that everything was looking good for Kiffin coming here. Everything was – it was all happening, as Kate Hudson said in that great movie. What's that movie I'm thinking of, Jeff?
I don't know.
Not Rockstar.
No, I'm not the movie.
It's all happening. It's all happening. And then a little bit after that, Dellinger came out with the great story about the contract. And the momentum is really not – shifted. So unless something changes, you know, it looks like it's LSU for Lane.
Let's bring in our first guest of the night. He is just fresh off of his show, Matt Moscona from ESPN Baton Rouge. It's a pleasure tonight here on Tiger Rag Radio. Really, the two guys that, along with the guys at Tiger Rag that have been all over this story and have pinpointed us really every step of the way since the firing of Brian Kelly. We'll have Ross Dellinger on later, but right now we got Matt Moscona of ESPN Baton Rouge. And Matt, thanks a lot for joining us tonight. And first question for you. How shocked would you be if Lane Kiffin is not the next head coach of LSU at this point?
Well, by the way, Jeff, I'm glad. It's a pleasure. That's wonderful to hear. Thank you. Well, I did watch Les Miles get carried off the field.
All right.
And then in the post-game press conference, Joe Oliva announced he's staying. I did watch LSU-Texas A&M where on the scroll during the game they're announcing Tom Herman has been hired as LSU's coach. And then 36 hours later, Ed Ogeron's at a podium. So on Friday I was tweeting about a plane and Oxford picking up a dog.
Right.
Nothing would surprise me. I mean, I think Lane Kiffin is going to be LSU's head football coach. Florida, as I was told today, has begun in earnest interviewing other candidates. I think they have sort of conceded. Ole Miss, it is so toxic. I don't see a path for him to return. I think Lane Kiffin is going to be LSU's coach. It's just a matter of when. And but if something went crazy and LSU ends up down a second, third, fourth option, that wouldn't surprise me. It's just that's coaching searches.
Matt, you had said on your show, I was listening earlier today, that Florida.
Oh, thanks, Glenn. Thanks for listening.
I listen regularly, man. And you had said that you know, Florida was beginning to move on, and you just quoted that from a source. So is that like a really good source told you that Florida's kind of almost conceding?
I wouldn't just throw something out there just because I think Florida late last week started to understand that Lane Kiffin in their pursuit was probably going to come up short, that he had picked LSU, which
Friday, you know, was that Friday you're thinking?
Thursday.
Okay. Right.
I think my best read on this, because a lot of Florida local media seems still very sure that Lane Kiffin is going to end up in Gainesville. I don't know if that's a consensus, but I've seen plenty of it. And my read on it is I think they're probably 10 to 14 days behind the news cycle, because 2 weeks ago, I don't mean that.
And they're on Eastern time. They're on Eastern time. That's amazing.
Two weeks ago, I would have told you that Lane Kiffin was going to be the next Florida coach. And I believe Lane Kiffin believed he was going to be the next Florida coach. And I believe that's exactly what was lining up to happen. And then LSU fired Brian Kelly and then Ernest began pursuing Lane Kiffin and gave him something to think about. And as the dominoes fell last week with his ex-wife visiting, them starting to put all of the pieces together of what a life in Baton Rouge would look like. I think Lane Kiffin was seeking the counsel of people he trusts it professionally. Nick Saban, Jimmy Sexton, Kirby Smart, they were all telling him their feeling is that LSU's a better job than Florida. I think that shifted. And then when you saw on Friday the statement from the athletic director, Keith Carter, which fell in line exactly with the timeline that I talked about all week, and subsequently the LSU board meeting and the numbers leaked to Ross Dellinger, that tells you the story. I mean, they've got the contract terms in place, and I believe Lane Kiffin has intimated that he's going to be in Baton Rouge, and they expect that. But it obviously can turn, as we've seen these things turn so many times over the years.
Matt, why do you think, I mean, in your opinion, I mean, this is mainly comparing notes here, but why do you think LSU is a better job for Lane Kiffin?
Than Florida or
Ole Miss?
Both.
Well, the Ole Miss piece of it is the pretty obvious one. It's because there's, perceived or otherwise, there's a lower ceiling in Oxford. The Mississippi schools are the lowest revenue schools, athletic departments in the SEC. It's a small state, not a populous state. There's two SEC teams in the state battling for recruits, and you get plucked by your neighbors as well. There's a reason they haven't won a championship there in 60 years. LSU and Florida just have more resources. The example I gave is, you know, when they played at Florida a couple of weeks ago, that 68,000 people had bought Hemingway. It was the largest crowd in the history of that stadium. On the same day, LSU was 5-4. LSU was playing 2-7 Arkansas at 11:45 in the morning and had more people in the stands than on the greatest day ever at Ole Miss. It's just a different resource. That's an easy one. LSU or Florida is probably more beauty in the eye of the beholder. And, you know, I think obviously LSU being the only Power Four team in a talent-rich state, as we all know, all of the resources that you have invested in the desire to be great, that doesn't always happen at Florida. I think LSU's facilities are better than Florida's. I think that's something that I think there's a much greater degree of give a darn among the fan base and the collective administration than perhaps at Florida. So, and you look at it historically, Florida's been good really in two periods. It's when they had Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer, and those are two Hall of Fame coaches. Other than that, they've missed a ton and have really bottomed out. LSU won national championships with Les Miles and Ed Ogeron. I think Lane Kiffin looks at that and says that's the differentiator, right?
That's what Kelly said too.
It's true. It didn't work for him here, and I think we could talk about why it didn't work for him here. And I think, I mean, I have theories on that. You know, Brian Kelly was here during a very transformative period in the sport. You know, NIL, when he took the job, was just coming into its own, and it went to a full evolution of pay for play during his 4 years, and I don't think they appropriately adapted to it. They tried to throw money at the problem this year, and they missed too much. They missed on the offensive line. Nussmeier got hurt, all the stuff. But if you get the right guy that knows how to utilize those resources in this era, I think LSU's a great job.
Hey, Matt, can you stay with us through the next break?
Oh, we're not ready. We're not ready for that.
Okay, go ahead,
but,
Todd.
But can you stay with us through the break?
Sure.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Well, let's go ahead and take the break now.
Okay.
Let's
go ahead. All right, that'll make it easier on everybody, right?
Get it out of the way.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, we appreciate you holding on, Matt. Let's take the break, and we'll have more with Matt Moscona from ESPN Baton Rouge here on Tiger Rag Radio.
A sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this fall. With 29 cuts of lean, protein-packed beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and throughout the fall, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of certified Louisiana beef. So remember, beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
Every winner knows a great play starts with a solid game plan and the right team by your side. At Sunshine, we're here to keep your operation running strong. From tractors to harvesters, we've got the John Deere equipment you need to tackle every job with confidence. Because when the work's done right, there's more time for the things that matter, like cheering on your favorite team. Make Sunshine Quality Solutions part of your playbook this season and learn more about what it means to be powered by Sunshine at sunequip.com.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-CUMMINS, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-CUMMINS.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit LAFarmBureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Tiger Rag Radio is back, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
A few more minutes here with ESPN's Matt Moscona, ESPN Baton Rouge Matt Moscona. Of course, you can hear his show every Monday through Friday, 3 to 6, and of course he also is the host of the Locked On LSU podcast. Todd, go ahead, fire away your question to Matt.
Hey, so Matt, you've been fairly vocal, if not very vocal, about the fact that LSU has totally mishandled this Brian Kelly situation, and I don't think you'll find too many people who disagree with you on that. But my question is, in your opinion, has LSU somewhat stabilized that situation by simply having Virge Ausberry named as the permanent full-time athletic director, or do you think that's had any impact at all?
Well, I absolutely think it's had an impact. They, whenever you didn't have a university president, athletic director, or head coach, we're all sitting there at that press conference that Friday when Virge was announced as the interim. I don't know if I can ever remember being at a press conference where the president of the board of supervisors was running a press conference, but they didn't have anybody else. There was no leadership in the university. Right. So even when Virge was interim, the leadership tried to present a front as if that wasn't going to hurt them or wasn't hurting them in their search for a coach, but it was, mm-hmm. which is why they moved quickly to promote Virge to that full-time or permanent role, or however you want to phrase it. Because regardless of whatever you want to say publicly, I think they were finding it difficult, because anybody that, no matter what you do professionally, you want to know who your boss is, because you want to know what the expectations are, what type of resources you're going to have to do your job. And how can you go, if you're Virge Ausberry is an interim, how can you go attract a candidate and not be able to tell that person, you're going to be working for me?
Right.
I don't know who your boss is going to be. So, yes, I think it was hurting them, and promoting Virge did stabilize things. And it helps that Virge is respected in a lot of athletic administration circles.
Okay. I know we need to let you go. We appreciate your time, as always, coming on the show. It's really a pleasure for all of us. But we haven't heard anything about backup candidates if Kiffin goes sideways here. What's your thought on that, real quick?
Well, it's okay. So middle of last week, that's, I think, the number one question, and nobody at LSU ever seemed to want to answer it. But I think think about 4 years ago, when all of the emphasis seemed to be on Lincoln Riley, who ultimately picked Southern Cal, and LSU 24 hours later very quickly pivoted and introduced Brian Kelly.
Right.
So I think you want to have a 1A, 1B. I think late last week it seemed pretty clear to me that was Eli Drinkwitz. Going so far as to say that I think they were even talking terms of what a deal would look like. But this is my opinion, guys. I think the public reaction to that has been so visceral, mm-hmm. and so negative that I think they've moved off of that. And I don't know that they very clearly have a plan B. I would tell you that my understanding is it would be one of Eli Drinkwitz, Kenny Dillingham, John Sumrall, and then maybe like the safety net candidate would be Blake Baker, because I think they could sell a popular assistant to the fan base. It would make sense financially. And then you could also look around college football and say Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame, Ryan Day at Ohio State, Sharon Moore at Michigan, Kenny Dillingham at Oregon, Kirby Smart, Lincoln Riley, Brent Venables. These are all guys that were coordinators that got their first head coaching job at major college football programs. So it's not something that would be unprecedented. So I'm not saying that's their first option. I'm not saying that's where they're going to go. I'm just saying I think that is an option if they end up getting down the list, if they do, in fact, miss on Lane Kiffin.
Makes sense.
Matt, thanks a lot for your time. So when a plane leaves Oxford Sunday morning, there may or may not be a dog on that plane, right? Do we know?
Maybe it's Juice Kiffin who would be on the plane. But I think Monday would probably be the target, where if Lane Kiffin, I would anticipate the announcement from Ole Miss sometime Saturday, probably before LSU plays at 2:30. Yeah. I think that there would be an announcement Saturday. And if Lane Kiffin does, in fact, pick LSU, as I think he will, I think the expectation is that he would be in Baton Rouge on Monday.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Hey, Matt, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving. And we'll keep listening. Thanks. We appreciate your input.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, that is Matt Moscona of ESPN Baton Rouge, 104.5, 104.7. 94.9. Of course, this show is also simulcast statewide on many of these same affiliates, and you can also hear his take on LSU on a variety of different platforms, including Locked On LSU. But, Todd, you asked him the question about Virge Ausberry being the stabilizer in this situation, because LSU really tripped over, really not just LSU, but the state, with the comments that Governor Landry made. And it just looked, when you go back to that, I guess it was a Wednesday, if I'm right?
Yeah. Landry's Wednesday. Comments were on October 29th, and Woodward got fired on October 30th. And Landry was right. His comments were right.
Yes,
and he hasn't said anything since then. So
right.
I think that's exaggerated.
But there was a lot of people saying, "Well, what's the governor doing even talking about this? Isn't there other things that he should be involved in?" And blah blah blah.
That shows Kiffin how serious Louisiana is about football. Landry got Kiffin the job.
But what I was getting at is, as bad as that looked, and as much as the national media was piling on LSU, and then you have Wade Roos, who says Virge Ausberry is the AD. No, he's just the interim. Wait a minute. Yeah, he is the permanent. All of that. All the missteps that have occurred here. But it may all in the end work out, and they get the guy they wanted, which is pretty amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, I think the coaches don't pay as much attention to all that noise that you just listed as much as people do, and national media. And don't forget the ridiculous press conference with the two Board of Supervisors members.
Yes.
With Virge in the middle. And I remember just thanking God that Virge was picking the coach and not those two dudes. Because they had no idea what they were talking about, and they were not prepared.
And I think the root of my question, what I was thinking, and what Matt and everybody is basically substantiating, I think that no matter who you are in college football today, no matter where you're coaching today, that if Virge Ausberry wants to talk to you, you want to talk to Virge Ausberry.
And they know who he is.
Right. They know, and they know that he's a football guy.
And he's got credibility.
He's got strong credibility across the entire country.
And he's been involved in all these other surveys.
Right. And I think that you know, we haven't heard much about a backup, but I guarantee you, like Matt said, he's got a backup.
Yeah.
And what happened to Clark Lee? To me, that would be the best backup.
Well, he refused to sign his new deal today.
Clark Lee would be the guy, not Blake Baker. That would be a disaster.
Or Eli Drinkwitz.
No, it's not going to be Drinkwitz.
I would take Eli over Blake Baker, though.
Anyway, we have a lot to talk about.
We certainly do. We're actually guest free here for the next half hour, so we'll be getting into it.
We are our own guests. You're the guest, Jeff.
All right, so we'll hear from Glenn, Todd, Andre, myself. Stay tuned. More of Tiger Rag Radio here from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac home standby generator.
Go online to BoudreausElectrical.com for information about Generac standby generators.
A sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this fall. With 29 cuts of lean, protein-packed beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and throughout the fall, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of certified Louisiana beef. So remember, beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
Every winner knows a great play starts with a solid game plan and the right team by your side. At Sunshine, we're here to keep your operation running strong. From tractors to harvesters, we've got the John Deere equipment you need to tackle every job with confidence. Because when the work's done right, there's more time for the things that matter, like cheering on your favorite team. Make Sunshine Quality Solutions part of your playbook this season and learn more about what it means to be powered by Sunshine at sunequip.com.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Yeah, we're back from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio. Jeff Palermo, News and Sports Director of Louisiana Radio Network, along with Executive Editor Todd Horn and the Editor Glenn Gilbo, Andre Champagne with you. This is Tiger Rag Radio. By the way, our show now available on podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. So look for the Tiger Rag Radio podcast. And, of course, also, you can find old shows, recently old shows, up on YouTube, on the Tiger Rag YouTube page. So plenty of different ways to catch us in case you are not able to get us on Tuesday night or whatever station you may be listening to us, because some of us, some of our affiliates around the state do not air us on Tuesday night. This show should at least hold up until Saturday. We just had Matt Moscona on, who said that a decision from Ole Miss on Lane Kiffin's future should happen sometime before the Oklahoma-LSU game, which, of course, is kicking off at 2:30. And, guys, what's your thoughts here on just this, the fact that Lane Kiffin is potentially going to lead Ole Miss to an 11-1 season, a college football playoff berth, a potential home game on the Oxford campus. But if Ole Miss beats Mississippi State on Friday, he will not be the coach in the postseason. What's your take on this really uncomfortable situation for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss?
You asked a multi-symbolic complex question.
It's college football, Todd. There are no easy questions.
So the first thing is I wanted to ask you a question about the first part of your question. You said Ole Miss is deciding. I'm becoming more like Glenn, where I think it's actually Lane Kiffin deciding what's going to happen rather than Ole Miss. I think that's part of
the charade.
He has
all the leverage.
Yeah.
Over LSU in Florida, too.
But I'm going to diverge from that right now and sound like I'm contradicting myself, because...
Okay, Scott Woodward.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that Lane Kiffin, based on my mind-reading abilities, doesn't care about coaching in the playoffs. And I know Glenn disagrees with me completely, but I believe that this is already decided, and unless there's some weird change like, you know, we've referred to earlier in the show, I think that Lane Kiffin will be telling Ole Miss that he's coming. In fact, I think they already know that he's coming to LSU, and that he really doesn't care about coaching the playoffs. I think he would like to, but I think it's the lesser of two evils.
But what does that say to you about his competitive spirit? I mean, here's a guy
nothing.
That
– it says nothing about his competitive spirit. It's just like Nick Saban said on Saturday. It's because of the schedule.
The coaches came up with this stupid schedule.
The coaches didn't come up with the schedule. The NCAA people did. The college football playoff.
But they get that from recommendations from college coaches.
Yeah, but they don't listen to them. No, that's the unorganized college football playoff in the NCAA. None of the coaches like the portal windows. They finally got that down to one. The college football needs to look at the NFL and see how you plan a calendar.
Well, how do you plan it when you have semesters and you have to make
quarters in some schools?
It's difficult. Now you get rid of the early signing period.
Well, that would be the easiest thing.
And then you move the portal window to May. That way all the players have to stay for a season and spring. And then if they want to transfer, you can't have the luxury of getting to go to your new school for spring. All you get is the summer. That would be the best way to do it. That would clear up some of the coaches moving. Because in the NFL, you know, they have to wait for the team to be out of the playoffs before they can talk to them. And the guys don't switch jobs till after the season, and then free agency is later.
Well, but they don't even go try to poach or gouge other coaches from existing teams.
Well, sometimes they do, but you're right. For the most part, that's true. And you're also talking about much fewer teams than you would in college football.
But anyway, all that aside and the structure being what it is right now, I honestly believe that Lane Kiffin really doesn't concern himself with coaching in the playoffs.
I think he really does. Everything I've heard him say says that. And I really think he would like to coach the team through the playoffs, just like other coaches have gotten to do. But the playoffs have changed. You know, in the past, the coaches, it was only one game, one or two games after the regular season. It wasn't a whole tournament. So that just happenstance that happened to him. And, you know, Bo Pelini coached LSU's defense by day, recruited his new team and staff at Nebraska by night, got paid by both schools. LSU won the national championship, and then he became Nebraska's coach. And that would be really hard to do for a head coach, but I think it could be done.
But on the other side, Nick Saban did not allow Lane Kiffin to be the offensive coordinator when he took the job at Florida Atlantic.
That was different, though. That had nothing to do with Florida Atlantic. That had to do with Lane's attitude down those last couple of weeks. He was being a petulant child at that point, and Nick just made that call. It really had nothing to do with the next job. It was more Lane being immature, but that's a good point.
I think there may be a sentimental reason that, you know, he naturally wants to
coach
the team. But I think he's more in tune with the transactional nature of the sport right now, to where it's like that's the lesser of two evils.
Yeah. I mean, I think he understands that it would be a real strange situation for him to be coaching that team. But what's different is people are forgetting this. Somebody said, oh, Lane's disloyal. He's been at Ole Miss. This is his sixth season. You got players now. They're only at a school for about 6 or 7 months as a signee, and they're entering the portal. Mm-hmm. So they're not loyal either. And a lot of those guys, like let's say Lane coached them through the playoffs and everybody knew he was going to, and it was out there that he was going to LSU. Well, a lot of those players, they're going somewhere else new too.
So probably LSU.
Yeah. Or let's get together for one more game. It could be done though. Like I think if Ole Miss told Lane, look, you can go to LSU and you can coach our team through the playoffs, but we're asking you not to take any of the current Ole Miss players with you to LSU.
And I think he responds with a bargaining chip for the quarterback.
Well, but he could get another quarterback.
He's got to first get eligibility though, because he's not eligible next
year. But that would be a good trade-off. You know, okay, I get to coach this team, maybe win a national championship, but I promise I won't try to take any of the players, and I'll leave and I won't try to get any of the commitments away too.
Fantasy land.
It's
fantasy land.
It is fantasy land. I mean, that would make the most sense, but again, it's college football. It's not going to make sense.
So, who's LSU's number two choice if this is another Tom Herman situation?
Clark Lee.
I think it's Clark Lee too.
I think it should. I don't think it is, but I think it should be.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I'm a big fan of Clark Lee and what he's done, and I think it's more than just Diego Pavia there.
You think Clark Lee would hire Brian Kelly as an analyst? That could help with the buyout.
Yeah, I guess it could. It could.
Poor Brian Kelly.
More Lane Kiffin talk. Let's look into the future. If Lane Kiffin gets the job, since we won't be back on the airwaves until Tuesday, how big of a job is in front of Mr. Kiffin when he takes the job here? So the transactional Lane Kiffin. Is that what can we call him that, Todd? Can we call Lane transactional Kiffin?
I don't think he would have a problem with that.
All right. More of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio right after this.
Live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio, we're back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio, Jeff Palermo, Todd Horn, Glenn Gilbo. Saturday's game against Western Kentucky was about as brutal of an offensive performance that you'll see from an LSU team. I mean, there's been games where I've seen LSU shut out. A Nick Saban team, I remember, got shut out against Alabama.
Those are good teams, though. This was the worst. This was the worst performance by an LSU team against a bad team, I think.
And,
you know, going back to when they lost to Troy, which was a 24-point underdog, Troy beat LSU and Ed Orgeron in 2018, I think that was, or 17.
But that was a turning point.
That was 17, yeah, 17.
Yeah, because then Danny Etling got it going, and then Joe Burrow, obviously in 18, but that loss.
That was embarrassing, man.
Yes, it was, and it was embarrassing on Saturday night. And so let's presume Lane Kiffin is the head coach, and I think he's got a pretty big job in front of him to try to repair this offense. And you got to basically rebuild the offensive line. You got to get some dynamic receivers in here. I still have faith that Caden Durham and Harlan Berry are good running backs if they had a chance to run behind a quality offensive line, but you're still going to still need to supplement that room. You got a tight end in Tre'Davious Green, but how many offenses are built around a tight end? And of course, you got to get a quarterback. And that now this is what this Lane is a play caller. He's known as a great play caller, and he's known as a guy that can develop quarterbacks. But the way I look at this thing, if it took basically 2 years for Blake Baker to rebuild this defense, it's going to take Lane Kiffin 2 years to rebuild this offense to get it to the point where it's what we're thinking. I understand it's the transfer portal era and he can bring in all these guys and all that kind of, but I think it is that bad offensively. It is going to take a lot of work to get it better.
So let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Austin Thomas is involved heavily in actually building and influencing the roster?
That is a very good question, because I think if he is, then you have to question whether he needs to be part of this new regime.
Yeah, I mean, obviously somebody whiffed, right?
Yes.
Okay. But
now I think the other part of his job, though, is been lining up these NIL donors. That's been a big part of his job.
Okay.
So that might mean that he's got to be there, because he's the one that's
He's already worked for Lane, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they left on good terms, because I don't think Lane was happy that he went to LSU. Now you can have a cup of coffee and maybe smooth that over. I don't know, but as I was watching it, I was thinking about Austin as well, because who picked these guys? who's been picking these players? Because
yeah,
it's just,
and you know, and Verge told us made a good point when he was with us a couple weeks ago. He mentioned how many of those guys were on losing teams mm-hmm. last year.
Yep,
I remember writing that in January and just getting crucified by people. But yeah, that's a good point. I would hope Lane and Austin could work that out, because Austin's a pretty good talent evaluator.
All right, so let's just do a quick checklist. These are the players that LSU has that I think, and I'm not going by position, I'm just listing players, so maybe you started it, but I'm going to repeat. I think they need to get Tamarcus Cooley back. He's got a year of eligibility remaining. I think they need, of course, DJ Pickett. I think that's one of the most important players they need to make sure they get back. Along the same lines with P.J. Woodland. I think, obviously, you mentioned Harlan Berry and Caden Anderson. Caden Durham, and I think they need to get Aaron Anderson back. He's got a year of eligibility left. I think they need to get Whit Weeks back. I don't think he'd have a problem playing with his father-in-law, and he hadn't had the type of year that I think he wanted to have. He was a preseason All-American, missed 5 games, basically, with an injury. So I think he will probably come back. If you know, it's the right situation. You mentioned Tre'Davious Green. I think they need to find out what the deal is with Colin Hurley, because Colin Hurley was a highly rated prep star, and even though he had the auto accident, and apparently it was a lot worse than we even thought at the time, where is he now? What's his situation? We don't know. we're not getting any answers.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's going to be interesting to see what Lane does with that, because I mean, the guy quit on the team.
Well, we don't know.
That's what it looks like on the surface.
That's what it looks like, but we don't.
And even if he did have a problem, you can still play, you know. So I don't know about that, but yeah, I think Lane's first thing he needs to do is, you know, if he's LSU's coach on Monday, he's got a signing date coming up, you know.
Yeah, so, within 8 days.
Yeah,
seven
so
days.
He and Frank Wilson need to huddle and get that class together and see if Lane can add to it. Maybe a quarterback that he's been recruiting who hasn't committed to Ole Miss yet. But then in the portal, which starts in January, he needs to get a quarterback.
They're going to need two quarterbacks in this. They're going to have to add multiple quarterbacks.
Please make them a dual threat quarterback that can run.
Wow, I can't imagine that he wouldn't be.
Was Jackson Dart a dual threat quarterback?
I would say he could move.
Yeah,
okay. Certainly run. Yeah, he could certainly run.
Okay,
so but
not really known as a dual threat quarterback.
No.
But he could run. Okay,
he could run, and he was more willing to run. Heck, yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons.
So
why
not
he's
necessarily
got four concussions
a dual threat.
But it's the reason why he's got four concussions with the Giants is because he's been running.
Right.
All right, one more segment here in hour number one, and then Matt McMahon will join us to begin hour number two. You're listening to Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
A sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this fall. With 29 cuts of lean, protein-packed beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and throughout the fall, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of certified Louisiana beef. So remember, beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious. With multiple engine options and impressive towing, while Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
Every winner knows a great play starts with a solid game plan and the right team by your side. At Sunshine, we're here to keep your operation running strong. From tractors to harvesters, we've got the John Deere equipment you need to tackle every job with confidence. Because when the work's done right, there's more time for the things that matter, like cheering on your favorite team. Make Sunshine Quality Solutions part of your playbook this season and learn more about what it means to be powered by Sunshine at sunequip.com.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. While I'm a fourth-generation rice and soybean grower, you don't have to be a farmer to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member. Membership has its benefits, from discounts on car seats, hotel rooms, and rental cars, to access to insurance you can count on to be there when you need, plus a whole lot more. We're 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit LAFarmBureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Now, back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Glenn Gilbo, Todd Horn, Andre Champagne. Matt McMahon will join us in hour number two. We'll also hear a little bit of Jay Johnson. He spoke with the media on Monday as LSU wrapped up fall ball early. They're done. They're ready to – they could play a game tomorrow if they had to, I guess. They don't have to. They'll wait till February. But some interesting news coming out of LSU player interviews tonight, guys. Whit Weeks – apparently one of the players that spoke with the media and confirmed that he actually broke his ankle, the same ankle he injured in the bowl game against Baylor. He broke that ankle in Ole Miss, and so it's
– South Carolina.
No surgery.
I think it was
– what's that?
Didn't he
– well, this is what he said, so but, yeah, okay. You would have thought it would have been South Carolina. You're right. South Carolina was the last game.
That he played, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was South Carolina, I believe, too. So maybe that was just a
– yeah, well, they said at the time that he re-injured his ankle the same ankle, but they didn't say he broke it. That's the new part of it, is that he actually broke it. So, they just said he injured it.
But what did he say? He said he broke it in the Ole Miss game.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, well, he broke it against Ole Miss. Same ankle he injured in the bowl game against Baylor. Total pain tolerance from here on out. No surgery needed. So,
sounds like they were hiding this a little bit.
There's a lot of weird injuries to that team. You know, Mansoor Delane, who's a finalist for the Thorpe Award.
Aaron Anderson's multiple injuries that he's had this year.
Garrett Nussmeier's injuries. I mean, this is a weird situation all the way around.
Well, you know, they get sued by someone where they didn't handle a particular player's injury very well.
Because if you think about it, Whit Weeks, he's draft eligible. So maybe they were trying to hide this to say, hey, if he goes and declares, they don't want that to
but I believe that's over with. He's coming back. Yeah, play for his father-in-law. Wants to play for his father-in-law.
Well, Andrew Kiffin, she did post that she was at Our Lady of the Lake tonight. I know she's been doing work.
Well,
and we should report,
you know, it's, you know, that you know, they've apparently bought a house in Baton Rouge, according to one message board that closed on Friday.
Who's bought a house?
Lane Kiffin.
Oh, I thought Landry and Witt bought a house.
Well, they may have, too. And also that Layla Kiffin has registered for a local Baton Rouge LA Fitness membership.
And then
these are the types of things that are going on.
It's true that Landry was at the Bengal Bells luncheon last Friday.
Right.
There were pictures of her. And
she was at the game as well. Yeah, she was not on the field though.
So what else went on at the player interviews today?
That's the only nugget that I've seen so far. Okay. I mean, what else is there to say, guys? Here's something interesting.
I want to know if they're going to be able to score this weekend. Is what I want.
I don't
to know.
Think they will.
Now this is it's, good. It, well, sorry to cut you off here, Jeff, but what's going to be interesting is down the line, Ross Dellinger reported tonight on his article that Florida officials have started to pursue other candidates.
Yes.
Well, that's what Matt Moscona said earlier.
Exactly. So, you know, that's definitely interesting to point out that we could probably
And there is apparently Missouri is having a board meeting tomorrow, the day before Thanksgiving.
Because that's Drinkwitz is supposed to be Florida's next option.
I don't know.
That's what I've heard.
God, LSU, they continue to beat Florida in head coaching searches. I mean, Kelly was not good, but he was better than Napier.
Well, Kelly could go to Florida if LSU would let him.
Yeah, LSU's really hurting Kelly's job candidacy. It has nothing to do with not making the playoffs in 4 years.
All right.
With Jaden Daniels at that.
Will LSU men's basketball make the NCAA tournament? Matt McMahon will join. I don't think he's going to give us that answer. But the Tigers are undefeated and headed into a Thanksgiving tournament with their first game on Friday. So we'll talk to Coach McMahon about that. And then we'll get back on the football talk. Ross Dellinger will join us in hour number two. So stay tuned for that here on Tiger Rag Radio.